podcast that will help us understand our health better. I'll talk to experts who will demystify topics like stress, fertility, nutrition, and much more as we take steps to become the healthiest version of ourselves. Since being diagnosed with cancer in my 30s, I made it my priority to educate myself on my health. I discovered creating healthy habits and investing in yourself can lead to wonderful things. I'm so proud to say that this podcast is sponsored by ReproMed. ReproMed understands how daunting it can be to navigate your fertility journey, so it's their mission to put their patients at the center of everything they do. Their world-class team of specialists offer the expertise, empathy, and compassionate care needed to relieve your concerns and guide your decisions. With clinics in Galway, Dublin, Drogheda, and Kilkenny, they are never far away and will do all they can to help you start your family. Check out repromed.ie for more. Hello and welcome to the Good Glow Health Season 2. I am so excited to bring this season to you. I have thought about what I wanted to cover over the last few months and things have come on and off the list and I've gone through it and I've really thought about it and I finally came up with 8 topics that I wanted to cover. So all of those podcasts will be coming your way over the next 4 weeks and I am so excited for you to hear each and every one of them. So first up today, we're chatting to Neil O'Murcu. I'm sure you know who Neil is. He's a super guy. I felt so calm after recording this podcast and so happy. And you'll know what I mean when you hear Neil talk. Neil started his journey into this world a few years ago. Himself and his wife Josie were suffering from grief. Things had really come to a head for them and they started breathing one night and everything changed from that point on. So on this podcast, we talk about stress, the impact that that can have on us mentally and physically, the importance of going into rest, digest and repair mode. And I think when we understand stress, we can start to address it and then hopefully we can help ourselves. So we speak about that. We speak about cold showers, sea swimming, and I hope that you will get so much from this podcast today. It's been a crazy week for us. We are over the moon with the reaction to the Good Glow Wellness Program. The early bird sale is now on. The wellness program is based around my 5 pillars of self-care, which is mindset and habits, joy, nourishment, self-worth and nature. There is so much in this program. We've got lectures, Q&As, quizzes, meditations, visualizations. It's packed full of amazing content. You can do this course at your own pace. And if you'd like to read more about it, you can head over to thegoodglow.ie/course. Before we get started, I just want to say that the information presented on the Good Glow Health is no way intended as medical advice or as a substitute for medical treatment and to always consult your doctor first. So over to Neil now, and I hope you enjoy it. I can't wait to hear what you think. Neil, I've been so excited for this conversation on the Good Glow Health today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. I am delighted to be here.
I've been following your journey for a while. I've been listening to your podcasts. You've got an amazing, calming presence. So I'm so thrilled to be here with you today. I wanted to start by just asking you if you have noticed a shift in the world over the last year. Do you feel like people are waking up or they're discovering really how they want to live their life?
Yeah, sometimes we have to be faced with very difficult situations in order to reassess where we want to take life. So that can be a health scare, that can be losing a job, that can be, you know, something that really shakes us. I think the pandemic shook us a lot at the beginning. We were forced to stay in, we were forced to reevaluate lots of parts of our lives, you know, and for many people, that was how we spend our time. Like one of our most valuable things is time. So it helped people understand what's important to them and then help them see that if something is important to them, they should be spending more of their time doing it. So I know in my kind of group of friends, that reassessment and that shift and that change has represented itself in lots of ways. In some ways, people have decided to start new businesses or new projects, things that they've always wanted to do. In other ways, people have formed new relationships that were really intense because they were, you know, new relationships, but they might have been living together and they have blossomed. And on the other hand, you have relationships that have just ended, you know, people divorcing or separating, whatever it is, because again, maybe this time to stop and reflect gives us time to see what's important. And that has many, many, like a ripple effect then out to our lives.
In 2018, I really stopped for the first time in my life. And I remember one day sitting in my back garden and I had time, all of a sudden time. I never felt like I had any time before. And when I had time, I started to think about how I had been living my life. And I think I started to take a long, hard look at it. And you just get caught up in the whirlwind, I think. And it's just go, go, go. But when you stop and give yourself a minute to actually think about it, you can have amazing breakthroughs.
Yeah. You're right. I think if our lives are hectic and we're running from one task to the next and we're getting up and we're doing 10 things, 20 things, 30 things, and the next day is the same, we don't have time to see where we actually are, you know, and sometimes when we're forced to stop, it's like we catch up with ourselves. And when we catch up with ourselves, it gives us a fresh perspective on, you know, where we are and the people around us, and are they the people around us that we want, and is how we spend our time and our attention how we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oftentimes there are little kind of questions for us to answer when we stop.
Yeah.
And we take stock of everything. And that's why something like, say, breathing practice or the cold or meditation is so, so important, because it gives us permission to take little points in the day and say, oh, I'm going to breathe for 5 minutes or get in the cold shower. And it's like this permission to stop.
Mm.
You know, we can't be thinking about all the things we have to do when we're in the cold shower. All we can do is think about the cold and how to survive it. So it gives us those little times to reflect. So we have, the pandemic has given us all an opportunity to reflect on a very large scale. And then within our days, it's important to take those times to reflect in smaller points as well. And that's, as you said, that's where we find truth. That's where we find honesty. And that's where we find these breakthroughs that can happen.
And Neil, your journey into this world, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got started?
I suppose if you go back to the very beginning, when I was a teenager, I was obsessed with basketball. You know, and I played basketball for Ireland, and that's all I thought about. All I did, you know, it was the big passion, love, obsession of my early life. But in the back of my mind, I always had these big questions as well about, you know, what is this experience of life? You know, who am I and who are you? And what's time? What, you know, all these big questions that philosophers and scientists and people have been struggling with forever. And those were always in the back of my mind, and they were getting bigger and louder as I kind of progressed through. And when I reached maybe late teens, early 20s, and I was playing basketball for Ireland and playing for the senior Irish team, these questions are so loud that I actually had to put all that aside and kind of retire from basketball at that age and give up what I thought was my dream of becoming a professional basketball player in order to go and find the answers to these questions. And that was a kind of shock to lots of people surrounding me, my coaches and even probably my friends, my family, because they weren't inside my mind. They couldn't hear these questions kind of getting louder. And that led me on a very, very interesting journey into initially martial arts, into yoga, into meditation, into different forms of healing and into different forms of breathing. And then one night when I was, you know, struggling many years later in the kitchen, our four children were very young. the twins were very, very young at that stage, and I was making bottles for them for the next day. And myself and Josie, my wife, we were exhausted and grief stricken. We had some tragedies in the family. And I heard Wim Hof speaking on a podcast, and what he said sounds so unbelievable to me, that just by breathing in a certain way and combining it with gradual exposure to cold, that we could transform ourselves, and quickly. We were in a hole. We were in a dark place, and we needed to get out of it quickly. So we started breathing a little bit every evening when the children were in bed. We started doing cold showers, and the transformation was so immediate. We had more patience with the children. We had more energy. I was a much better dad and a much better husband. And very soon on after that, it struck me that many of the answers that I had been searching for since I was a teenager were right there. They're in the breathing. They're in the depths of the cold. You just have to go and, you know, explore it. And that eventually led me then to sitting here talking to you.
What was it like going through that experience with your wife, like doing it together? That must have been very special.
It was special. And we met, myself and Josie met many years ago in work. I was sitting at one desk, and she started like a couple of months after me, and she was sitting at the next desk, and we struck up a relationship from there. And you know, we moved to London together, and we were always thinking we'd love to work together, you know, and we'd love to spend as much time as we could together. And then when we started doing the Wim Hof method, it was just a thing that kind of brought us, it gave us a common ground, like a sacred common ground that we, obviously we have some type of common ground, deep common ground when you're married to somebody, but this was another level altogether. You know, we would get through the struggle of the day. We'd get the children to bed. Mm. I'd worked and all that would happen. And we'd clean up and we'd get ready. And it might be 10 o'clock at night. And we'd sit down and we'd breathe together for 20 minutes. And we'd start to feel so different. Then we'd go up and have a cold shower at like 10:30 at night in the wintertime, which was grim and difficult. But we felt so brilliant afterwards. And you know, to go and feel those changes with somebody that's so important to you is life-changing in a very different way, adds another dimension to it. And what I've learned then years afterwards is that when we breathe in a certain way, when we breathe and we focus on our long exhales, is what we do in the cold, it produces oxytocin. You know, so oxytocin is the chemical that we produce when we hug somebody. So we get that same bonding experience. We get that deep trust with somebody when we breathe together. You know, I didn't know that at the time, that's how it was happening, but we felt that closeness even getting closer, you know, and when I look back at it now, that's the foundation of where we find ourselves now, that closeness. And it's great that Josie and I work together now all the time. And, you know, but it wasn't about that originally. It was about getting ourselves up out of this dark place.
It's nice that you almost gave each other a leg up out of that time. And I think, I mean, we're a year into this now, into COVID, and I'm getting a little bit sick of putting my baby down to bed and then sitting on the couch and just watching TV. There has to be more we can do within the four walls, you know, where we can learn and we can grow. Yeah. And I think during the second lockdown, I turned to online courses or meditation in the evening and just something different. And I think this is a great option for people if they want to do it together when the kids are down, or, you know, even if you live alone, just to hop into a cold shower. And it's funny the way you say you did it at nighttime, because I would have thought when I turned to cold showers last October, I would have kind of only imagined doing them in the morning. Yeah. If you do them at nighttime, do you sleep better? Do you feel calmer going to bed?
It's an amazing combination of feelings in the nighttime, because obviously the first one is dread. You know, your body's moving into its kind of going to bed mode, and the last thing you want to do is to get into a cold shower. And then it moves from dread to the experience of the cold and the shock and the chaos, but then using your breath to find that calm and control in the cold. And of course, you get out and you feel stunning. You feel amazing. So, you know, and that it's not like a high where you can't go to sleep. You'll definitely feel amazing and you'll feel yourself calming down. And then you have, you know, sleep that's dark and deep and you don't remember it. You know, you wake up and you go, oh my God, I didn't even move, you know. So we started to experience that. And when you were saying it there, you know, that you have somebody to give you a leg up, it's not essential, but it was very important for us at the time that we were able to help each other. Like I remember at one stage, we progressed through there was an old 10-week online course for the Wim Hof method. And we were progressing through it week by week by week by week. And towards the end of it was this really hard challenge where you had to do 10 minutes in the cold shower, which, you know, is a very long time. And I wouldn't recommend it for people to do it straight away. But it was maybe week 8 or 9. And again, it was nighttime and we were like, oh my God, I can't believe. So I was kind of like, I was trying to get Josie ready. She was going to go first. And she was like, you just shut up, you know. And she got into the shower and I was timing it as the minutes were going by and the minutes were going by. And then at about 6 or 7 minutes, I was like, she's doing so well. And then I was like, oh no, I'm next trying to do it. You know, but that, it doesn't have to be a husband and wife. It doesn't have to be friends, but having some type of support or accountability is important when we're doing difficult things. And that can take loads of forms these days. That can be a Zoom call with somebody or, you know, an online form. There's loads of ways of doing it, but sometimes we need that that little push from somebody else.
Yeah. So when I had really bad anxiety last October, November, felt really down. It's when I feel really down in the dumps, I actually physically spend a lot of time on the floor. I don't know whether I'm just trying to kind of ground myself or whatever it is, but I found myself in October, November spending a lot of time on the floor in my house. Yeah. And just really, really, it was really tough for me. And I downloaded Wim Hof's book, The Wim Hof Method, Chapter 3, Cold Showers, changed everything. And I get up every day and I'd have my cold shower and I would instantly feel happier, instantly feel calmer. I would feel like my heart rate was slower. I loved the feeling of, you know, getting my head under. Can you just talk us through what the actual benefits of turning the shower to cold does for us?
Yeah, there are levels and levels of benefits to it. So we'll talk about the physical ones first. They're the ones people can kind of feel initially.
I'll get back to that conversation in just a sec. With everything going on in my life at the moment, I'm honoured to team up with ReproMed this season. I've learned more about ReproMed and what they do over the past couple of years. They pride themselves in taking a personal interest in your care, regardless of where you are on your fertility journey. ReproMed.ie is packed full of information on TSI, IUI, IVF, egg donation, fertility preservation, and more. A consultation with their team, which you can book on ReproMed.ie, will provide you with everything you need to know about treatment options in a supportive, honest environment. Now, back to my conversation.
So in the shock of the cold, our body moves up into fight or flight. So our heart rate flies up and we get this burst of energy to jump out of the cold shower. And this is a very important part of our evolution. It's what kept us alive all these millions of years, this ability to deal with danger really quickly. So that's what happens when the cold hits our body. But then if we focus on our exhale and we can find our exhale within that chaos, eventually what starts to happen is after about 5 or 6 long exhales, the vagus nerve in the back of the brain activates and it helps to drop our heart rate. And when it drops our heart rate like that, we move from fight or flight, which is like emergency survival mode, and we move down into a part of the nervous system that makes us feel safe again. So we begin to feel safe in amongst the cold. And in that transition from fight or flight into what's called rest and digest, a whole range of benefits start to kick in. Our hormones start to balance. So whatever mood we got into at the beginning of the cold shower, it's totally different. It's elevated when we get out. Our circulation improves. So the 120,000 kilometers worth of blood vessels in our body, if we're always in the same temperature, they never get a workout. They need to be open and closed, open and closed, like any muscle to pump the blood. So when we're in the cold shower, they constrict. And when we get out of the cold shower, they open back up again. So it helps improve circulation, which gets blood and nutrients and oxygen to every part of the body. And there's, you know, in that movement as well, as you said, it improves our cardiovascular health as well. It makes our cardiovascular system stronger. So that's the kind of physical benefits. And the way they feel is that you get out and you feel amazing. You feel strong and you feel like you can take on the world. But there are deeper benefits than that as well. The first one is when you're looking, or when you're in the cold hot shower and you're enjoying your hot shower, it takes a little bit of bravery to turn it to cold. There's a decision there to face the fear of the cold. And that little decision to face the fear of the cold every day starts to change our mental resilience. If we look at the cold as representing all the things we struggle with, stress, anxiety, worry, fear, because they have the same effect. They move us up into fight or flight. So when we get in there and we face all those things and we use our breath to come down from that, to feel calm and in control in the face of these things, then it starts to have transformative effect on us. Because then every day we get into the cold chair and we come out and we've won. It's a victory there for us. We have beaten in that moment whatever fears that we're carrying, whatever anxieties that we're holding. And that little victory every day over a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, all those things that we struggle with, they start to lessen. They become less potent as we become stronger in the cold. And that's the real value of it.
So you're almost building your self-worth. If that's something you're struggling with, this is for you. And I think that's what was, I felt like last October, November, I was questioning everything and I was doubting myself and I was losing confidence in myself. And when I get into the cold shower, I come out and go, I can do anything.
Yes.
I can take on the world now. I can do this.
Yeah. And that's what it teaches us every single time, because every single time before we turn to cold, whether it's a cold shower or this morning I was in the ice bath, or someone jumping in the sea, there's always this part of us that's like, oh no, you know, I'm too afraid, or I don't want to do it, or it'll be too, you know, whatever the problem is. And then we're the opposite when we get out. There's a great phrase, it comes from the Irish and language, and it means, you know, the old phrase was that we go to the sea, the cold sea, to drown the miserable person. So we get into the sea and no matter how miserable we felt, we leave that person in there and we get out and we're a different person. And we can apply that to the cold shower. No matter how miserable we might feel or whatever pressures we're facing, when you get out, you're different. Yeah. You've left them all in there.
And can pregnant women get into cold showers? Like, is there any sort of warning that we should give people? Who is this maybe not for? Should they consult their doctor?
So if you have any serious health issues, always consult your doctor before doing anything kind of shocking, like getting into the cold. For pregnant women, again, you know, you don't want to start doing cold training when you're pregnant. But if you're a person that has done it for years and years, you know, you could argue that you just continue to do what you've always done. The body is used to it. The cold always has to be respected. We have to approach it gradually and with respect. It's a very strong force. So the cold shower is one thing. But if somebody is in the sea, you know, we tend as a society to maybe push things a little bit too far. And the cold teaches us that if we push too far, we're going to pay a price. You know, so if we're in the cold shower or in the ice bath or in the sea, we have to take it gently and easily and not push it. And less is more, you know, so a little bit of cold, a few moments in the cold is very valuable. We don't have to spend a long time in there to get great benefits.
Yeah. So the idea then is to get in, have your warm shower as normal, turn it to cold, and people can listen to your podcast or download Wim Hof's book, and chapter 3, Cold Showers, will tell them everything they need to know about it.
It's all in there.
Tell us then about your journey off to meet Wim Hof and do this training. What, because you were training in this before, I suppose, everyone had heard of Wim Hof and he became this kind of mainstream character. So people around you, were they like, are you all right, Neil?
They'd be like that for a while though. I think whatever apprehensions or, you know, questions people around me might have had dissolved quite quickly when they saw the benefits to myself and Josie. They could see the change in us. You know, they could see us, you know, becoming different people in front of their eyes. So, of course, you become a little bit of an evangelist then to everybody around you. So, you know, my mom and my dad and everybody around us was doing cold showers and breathing, you know. So by the time it got to the stage where I was on a plane going to Poland to climb up these huge, icy, snowy mountains in the winter in my shorts, the people around me already knew the deal. You know, they're on the sidelines. They're kind of cheering me on. And it was, things are changing so quickly, but to have the opportunity to go and train with Wim and his top instructors, you know, it was an incredible experience.
Mm.
Incredible.
Isn't it amazing to watch people around you thrive? You know, like when you were saying that, people could see the difference in you guys. And even with me, I suppose, on what I've been through over the last few years, I know my family, they're cheering me on this journey that I'm on. And I think actually when you step out and be who you really want to be, those around you are going to cheer.
Yeah. And I think that's the first thing I noticed when I met Wim first. He was just himself. You know, and when you meet somebody that is 100% themselves, it's so refreshing. You know, obviously he's this incredible pioneer, and obviously he's this incredible person pushing our understanding of what's possible to the very edge. But he's also just a normal person, you know, and when you meet him, like you're saying, you know, you see Wim and he's just himself, and he'll say, you know, kind of wildly inappropriate jokes about all types of stuff, and he's just himself. And then you see the brilliance, and then you see the father, and then you see all the aspects of him. And we realize that most people who do extraordinary things are just normal people. And that gives us then the permission to be ourselves. And when we start to be ourselves, such a great freedom in it.
Mm.
Not giving a feck what people think, or not putting those pressures on ourselves. People probably aren't even thinking about whatever we think they're thinking about. You know, it's the pressure we put on ourselves to conform in whatever way it is. And what I've found is that slowly, slowly, the cold starts to help us peel back those layers. When you're getting into the cold shower every morning or every evening or jumping into the sea, we know it's changing our hormones. We know it's changing our circulation system. We know it's improving our immune system. We know all of that. But when you wrap all that stuff up, what does it mean? And it really means that we start to have the energy and the focus to be who we are. You know, we're not crippled by anxiety, or we're not crippled by tiredness and making us feel a certain way. And I think that then, there's a liberation in finally just being yourself.
Mm. And can you recognize now when you're in fight or flight mode, like for anybody listening who may be just endlessly exhausted?
Yeah.
How can they take a minute and kind of assess where they're at?
I think I was probably in fight or flight mode for years and years, from like the first child being born until the number 3 and 4 were born, and you know, after that Wim Hof started. But for those years in between, I was exhausted. I'd wake up tired. You know, that's one example of how if you wake up and you're waking up and your body feels rusty and your mind is already cluttered with things to do, and before you lift your head off the pillow, you're already struggling a little bit. That's how I used to feel. And then if your energy during the day takes these massive dips, you know, I remember at 3 o'clock I'd have to go into insomnia and buy a drink and something, you know, to kind of pick me back up for the rest of it. And so if you're feeling anything like that, you're probably under too much pressure. If you're not, well, and another way to look at it, if you're not taking some time out to do some breathing, to breathe calmly for a few minutes, then you're probably up in fight or flight a bit more than we should be.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about it is that the most effective and simple way to bring ourselves down from that takes about a minute. Just close your eyes, just sit down, take a breath in, and exhale all the way out. Take a breath slowly in, and exhale all the way to the end of your exhale. And repeat that another time, breathing in and breathing out. And if you sit down and do that even for 5 times, the vagus nerve activates, your heart rate drops, the body starts to shift from fight or flight down into a place where it feels safe, where it can heal, where it can restore itself. And that just little exercise focusing on our exhale, that's what can do that for us nearly immediately.
Wow. I think when you say, you know, you're in fight or flight mode for years, me too. I definitely feel like I'm still kind of recovering from 12 years of stress, wearing stress like a badge of honor, burnout. And I know a lot of people who are in that position, and God, life is crazy at the moment. So, you know, you can be forgiven for being in fight or flight mode. How often would you recommend a little breathing technique like that?
There's a few ways to look at it. There is the immediate problem way. So let's say you're in some really stressful situation. That's the time to take a moment to focus on your exhale. So somebody, you're in a Zoom call, it's going disastrously wrong, some kind of business thing, it's not working out, you're under pressure, you know, you can exhale 4 or 5 times without anybody noticing and you'll feel the shift. Or like in our house where it's chaos, like there's a child hanging from the light over here, another one's falling through the window, you know, and you have to do something. And it's in those moments, just take literally 5 exhales and you'll feel yourself come down out of it. So that's the kind of immediate one. So use it when you need it. But of course, like all skills, you need to practice it a little bit when you don't need it, so you can call upon it when you need it. So even if you take, say, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, just to sit down, put a timer on your phone on for 3 or 5 minutes, just sit there gently inhaling and breathing all the way to the end of your exhale, nice and softly, and just repeating that simple exercise. One, it'll bring you down into a calm state. And two, then the body starts to remember it when the chaos arrives. So I'd encourage people to take a few minutes every day and not see it as a luxury. This is essential.
Yeah. You
know, essential maintenance, essential way of dealing with the pressure, because it always comes. You know, life is beautiful. Life is full of color and opportunity. But the pressure always comes.
Mm.
You know, that's part of being a human. That's the human condition. So either we learn how to deal with the pressure, or we let the pressure just impact us all the time. So that's what this little breath can do.
Before I learned about rest, digest and repair mode, I didn't even know it existed. But I think actually learning the benefits of going into rest, digest and repair helped me want to get into that mode, because I understood it. So could you just tell us a little bit about what happens when we rest, digest, repair?
Yeah, it's the best way to kind of think about it is if we think back to our ancestors. So our ancestors, let's go back hundreds and thousands of years, and let's imagine that we live in a very different time before technology as we know it, and we're sitting in a cave, and in the cave is our sanctuary. So in the cave, it's dark. There's no predators around. It's a time where we, you know, we have a fire and we eat whatever food that we have, and it's relaxing. You know, we're safe. This is the parasympathetic part of the nervous system. This is the place where we feel safe, where we can recover, where we can repair, where we can heal ourselves. Imagine this cave that we're safe in. Now, our ancestors had to go out. They didn't have Deliveroo delivering to the cave. So they had to go out of the cave. And immediately when we step out of the cave, we become more vigilant. We have to look around. The light changes. Our environment changes. The temperature changes. And our body starts to become more vigilant. And this is a really important counterbalance to the cave. You know, we need this energy. But if you go back to our ancestors, when we stepped out of the cave, we were hunting, but we were also being hunted. Mm-hmm. You know, so there was predators, there was risk, there was danger. So in this sympathetic part of the nervous system, it's like an accelerator. We're given the energy to go and do this stuff. We're in the jungle, we're hunting, we're being hunted, we're dealing with all of these things. And we have our heart rate goes up in order to do this. Our energy levels go up. But the body is taking much needed energy from other parts of us in order to do this. It's taking energy from our digestive system. It's taking energy from our immune system. Because it's putting it up into this survival mode, which is so important for our progression as a species. But the problem is then, in modern day times, when we come back into our cave from being outside in fight or flight, our ancestors came back to the cave. The cave was dark. The cave was quiet. The cave was a place to rest. In the modern cave, we have screens all the time. The minute we look at a screen, our fight and flight is starting to kick in. The minute we're scrolling, our reaction to all the different sounds, the noises, the content, what we're reading, is pushing us up into fight or flight. So many people will probably recognize, you know, lying in bed on their phone, flicking before they go to bed. And really, it's like bringing the fight or flight, the outside predators attacking us trying to survive. It's like bringing that right into the cave. So for a lot of people, and that's where I was for a long time, there was no sanctuary, there was no cave, there was no parasympathetic part of the nervous system, there was no healing and resting and digesting, there was none of that. It was always stuck out there. And just by taking a few moments to breathe, it brings us back into this sanctuary, brings us back into this part of ourselves. And our bodies are so incredible. We only need to give them, you know, a slight, the right conditions in a small amount for them to do an incredible job of regenerating all the time. But to really help them, we just need to give it this little time away from screens, away from the pressure, to just breathe a little bit.
Yeah. And what's your cave now? So you have ice baths every day. You're breathing every day. Does the ice bath and the breathing, it's bringing you towards rest, digest and repair? Like after the cold, that's where you've arrived at, is it?
Yes. So we talked about all the great benefits of the cold, you know, and the cold showers and how it physically helps us, how it mentally helps us. And the other part is, it's like a training stimulus. It's like a stressor that we bring upon ourselves. We get in there, oh, fight or flight. And we train the body to use the breath and the cold to come back down. So it's like a way of training. So we get in the ice bath, you feel that, you forget all the benefits, you come out and you're able to bring yourself back down into the sanctuary, into the cave, into the kind of healing part of the body by practicing it, by practicing the breathing. So my daily practice would be breathing every morning, in the cold every day. But the real value of it is then, when we go outside of the practices, you know, when we're out in life and we feel pressure or worry or whatever it is, to be able to remember that we can use the same breathing we use in the cold. We can use it wherever we are, and just focusing on that exhale and coming down out of that fight or flight. That's the real skill. Mm. And anyone can learn it. It just takes a little bit of practice.
I think people will get so much from this. And I think, like you said, you know, listening to Wim Hof on a podcast changed your life. Yeah. I think podcasts are amazing for people who are looking to have a breakthrough. So now the universe has guided you to this place in your life where you must wake up every day and feel so grateful that this is your destination. Like, this is where you are right now. And now you have you know, all of these people coming and doing your workshops and getting involved. What sort of people? I imagine that from all walks of life, at different stages of life, at different points of crisis or wherever they're at, they're coming to you now. What's that like for you?
It's quite unbelievable. I often wake up and think, wow, how did this all happen?
Yeah.
You know, but I feel that when we're given an opportunity, we have to do the best we can with it. You know, so I'm often saying to the children, you know, if we're born in a place and we have food and we have all these things, it's our job to take that and do something good with it. You know, so that's what I feel when we're doing the workshops, is that we get people from, as you said, every type of person you can imagine. You know, we have super athletes, professional athletes, down to a person that can barely move. We have, you know, people in their late 70s. The earliest we can take is 18 to 18. We have every color, every shape. People coming there out of curiosity. People there coming out of it for specific things, autoimmune diseases, inflammation. You know, you name it, people are coming for a different reason. And at the beginning, years ago, when we first had our events, it was very much male focused, because the first few documentaries with Wim in it, you know, they're all about the amazing things he had done, like climbing up Mount Everest with no equipment, you know, no oxygen, no clothes, basically, except shorts. And so that at the beginning, you know, people could misinterpret that as a very macho thing until they really understood what it was about. So we used to get lots of men at the beginning, and then slowly and slowly it changed and changed and changed. And now, before lockdown, some of our workshops would be 80% women, 90% women. And it's just, I think people are realizing that it can help whatever we're struggling with. And everyone struggles with something different. Whatever we're struggling with, a little bit of coal every day and a little bit of breathing can help us deal with that. And I think that's what was drawing people to the workshops and the retreats.
Yeah. And when you go, like I was on the beach on Easter Sunday and it was packed, full of people, you know, flasks, good vibes. Like, I'd imagine for you, when you see that, it must fill your heart.
Yeah. We used to run before, you know, everyone says it, before lockdown. We used to run these events called Wimrise, which were these free events on the beach. I would invite people to come and do a little bit of breathing with us on the beach and then go for a swim. And they were huge. Like, the last one we had to cancel because of a storm, but there was 1,000 people registered to come. And,
wow.
And there's something, there's a momentum and an energy. There's something primal about hundreds of people on a beach, watching the sunrise, breathing together, and then just getting in for a little dip afterwards. You know, there's something, this isn't a new experience for us. You know, our ancestors had versions of this. We didn't invent this. We've just kind of rediscovered it. So when I'm at the beach and I see all the people now getting into the sea, I love it. You know, the more people, now this, not everyone agrees with this, but in my opinion, the more people getting out to the swimming spots and swimming in the sea, the better. Some people like to keep their little swim spots
yeah.
themselves. But the more people that are using nature to help themselves, the better for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, so it fills me with great joy to see families and people down there. And in this time, particularly when many people are really suffering the effects of isolation and loneliness, going to the sea and having a chat, socially distanced, of course, you know, having a chat with somebody who's just got out of the sea might be their only contact with somebody for the whole day. And keeping those human connections alive is so important. And again, it's the cold bringing us together. You know,
yeah.
It's the cold kind of teaching us these things.
I've learned so much from this podcast. I could spend hours in your company. You're so calming. I will put all of your details in the notes of this episode if people want to get in touch. Or I would imagine that, you know, once we're all vaccinated, you can get back up and start doing your workshops. And I'm sure you're going to be out the door.
Yeah, I have constant requests now for people asking to pre-book on the workshops, which will be great. I think we'll all need a period of adjustments when we come out
yes.
of the isolation. And then I think we'll be getting back to kind of living fully very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But if anybody's kind of interested in the breathing, like I have an online breathing course and the first part of it's free. You know, so if anybody's interested in this, just go to the website and the first level of the breathing training is free for people, you know, so they can get an idea of how something like we've talked about can really start to improve their lives. So,
yeah. And you've got your podcast as well.
And the podcast. Yeah. So yeah. You can find me lots of different places.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to The Good Glow Health with thanks to ReproMed. If you did enjoy this conversation, I would appreciate so much if you left me a review, and thank you so much for tuning in. This season of the podcast will be brought to you every Monday and Thursday over the next 4 weeks. So thanks again for tuning in, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.